Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour, and welcome to Thursday, June 22nd. I hope you're having a good day. Thanks for tuning in, being with us today. Lots of things going on in the news. There's new immigration restrictions. There's new rules. The president wants to bar immigrants from public assistance and no welfare for at least 5 years. That could be helpful. And also, the Obamacare replacement bill will be posted online later this morning. I know what I'm going to be doing later this morning. Napping. Are you going to try to read that, Rebecca?
I think I might have to, just to see if I can possibly get through it.
Okay.
Good also be a good vocabulary test.
Yes, it will be.
I was going to keep an eye on kind of what's going on. And that since I know people will probably be talking about it, I'd like to know what it is we'll actually be discussing.
And this is interesting. An inventor came up with a simple gadget that's supposed to react to the temperature in a car with a built-in little alert system. It's a small pink box named Oasis and has little tiny air ducts that blow cool air when it becomes too hot inside a car. And an antenna that alerts parents in emergency service. You clip it on a child's car seat. That way the little box, you know, has a little way of cooling down if your child is in a hot car, which you probably shouldn't have in the first place.
Right. But that's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
Because it's always so sad to hear those stories about it seems like every summer there will be somebody, some poor soul stuck in a car. And, you know, I think that's a great idea.
And now here's the punchline to the story. The inventor is a 10-year-old.
Wow.
Who was inspired after the death of a neighbor, this little baby who lost her life from being in a hot car.
Well, God bless that 10-year-old. Does it say the name of the 10-year-old?
Curry is his name. A 10-year-old Texan.
God bless you, Curry. That's amazing. Yeah.
And you know what? 10-year-old coming up with ideas like this. It's very impressive.
Because he saw a need.
Yeah.
Here I am, Lord. Send me.
Yeah, we've got a great show coming up. We've got Coach Matt Deggs on the studio line. We're going to bring him on in just a minute. He has a very inspirational video that we all saw and went hooray for when we saw it. We just couldn't have been any more excited. So we said, let's call Matt and see if we can get him on the show. And sure enough, he said, yeah, I'll come on your show. And then a little bit later, we're going to talk to Mike Nichols. He wrote a book called The Lost Art of Listening. And I picked up this book, 20 years ago? And I read it and I thought, this is really, really good stuff. And listening is a lost art and it doesn't come naturally. You know, if you went and took a golf lesson, the golf pro would say, oh, no, you're doing it all wrong. I got to reconstruct your swing completely. And that's really the way it is with listening. We think we're good listeners or we say we're not good listeners. Well, either way, we need to become better listeners. And that's how we also reach the lost is by listening. We got to learn how to listen. And so we'll do that in later in this hour. But we will now take a break and we come back. Coach Deggs on the line. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 10 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with us today. I have on studio line Coach Matt Deggs, and Matt's made gotten a lot of attention lately just through a video after a game where he gave a very inspirational message, and the whole staff here looked at it, and we were just like, oh my goodness, we got to try to call Matt and see if we can get him on the show. And here you are, Matt. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. So, by the way, going out today, I'm going to have my We Need More Matt t-shirts made up.
Oh, goodness.
It's true. We need more of you.
You know, like I told the boys when we got home, this thing, I didn't know, you know, I don't know a lot about social media, and we got back and we were doing our last team meeting and all the boys were going crazy. Coach, look at all this. And, you know, I sat them down and I held up a bottle of water and I said, what's in this water or what's in this bottle? And they said, water. And I said, well, the water can save your life. I said, what's transporting the water? It's a piece of plastic, Coach. Well, Lance, Miles, how much is the plastic worth? Probably 3 cents, Coach. I said, we're the plastic. Do not get caught up in the 3 cent plastic. We just delivered a message.
Now, you said in your video that you were more of a transactional coach when you started. What's in it for me?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, that's who I am, and that's what lives inside of me.
Uh-huh.
I'm selfish, arrogant, egotistical, and
you're talking about me or you now?
Self-serving.
I think you're.
I'm an opportunist.
Okay.
All of those things live inside of me, and I don't like that person, and have to make a conscious effort every day to suppress that and take up the cross and you know, give it all to the Lord.
Now, you ended up losing your job for a while, and that's when you sort of had a opportunity to think hard about what was going on in your life.
Yes.
Quite humbling,
yeah,
wasn't it?
A drinking issue, and I was living as an enemy of the cross, even though I knew Jesus, and I loved Jesus, and, you know, had been a Christian since I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
And, was living as an active combatant of the cross, and the Lord stripped me of everything and took me all the way to the darkest of the dark, and you know, slowly, and I mean slowly, did He start to transform and rebuild me, and only when I took action did He start to use me.
Yeah.
The message that I tell everybody is when you're living in addiction and or living in sin, and you try to live in sin and pray at the same time for God to save you, you might disagree, but He's not going to step in and save you. The darkness cannot live in the light. It just doesn't happen. And it wasn't until I stood up and took action that I found out that God was standing right beside me the whole time, and I went from bearing really bad, ugly fruit to being very fruitful in everything that I did.
Mm-hmm. Matt, would you say that baseball had become an idol of yours?
No doubt.
Yeah.
That was my identity. That's who I was. That's the way I saw myself. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it call you to be a baseball player or a baseball coach. It just calls you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, my vision of myself was strictly tied to baseball and what can I get.
Yeah. So when you come back and realize that you've gone from being a transactional coach and now you want to be a transformational coach, talk about that, because that's so powerful.
Well, I don't think that's something that that I realized at the time. I think it was, it was not a cognitive decision. I didn't say if I ever get back, I'm going to be a transformational coach. I think it was my decision that if I ever was blessed with the opportunity to be back in the game, I'm going to share my story. And through all of that, was born the opportunity to transform and build, and it just happened.
Mm-hmm. Because as a coach, you get a chance to train and build these players up, but you also get an opportunity to speak truth into their life and to represent something to them that they carry on for the rest of their life. And you don't take that lightly, do you, Coach?
No. Just like says in Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. That's kind of my mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard your counterpart say that a second ago, and it rings so true in my life. Here I am, I'll go.
Yeah.
And, just so blessed that I'm still here and I still have my family, and the Lord is living through me, and I'm just a vessel. And so I take every opportunity to share and speak and share with the boys my experiences and how you go about your business and this is what can happen and et cetera, et cetera. And that's my mission.
Yeah. Now, Matt, you just said that you feel so grateful that you have your family. Did you run the risk of possibly losing them at one point? I mean, was there a drinking that came into the situation?
For a period of time.
Okay.
I did lose them for a period of time. And, you know, I didn't just fall from the mountain. I mean, I fell, you know, all the way down. And I lost my job. I lost my family for a period of time. I lost, you know, most of my friends. And, you know, the people that you thought were your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, was literally stripped of everything,
mm-hmm.
my identity. Who I was, and it was so dark, I literally had to sleep. I would sleep with my 5-year-old daughter at times just to feel her heartbeat, because I know that God lives through the children,
mm-hmm.
and just to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my message to anybody, because there's people out there right now that are going through that, and my message is that God makes all things new, and, you know, Ecclesiastes 3:11, God makes everything beautiful in his time.
Mm-hmm. Matt, I want to...
That is the message.
Yeah. Matt, I want to talk about some of the ways in which your players have been influenced by your leadership. And what I heard on the video was pretty powerful. And so when we come back after the break, I'll ask you about that. It is 16 minutes after the hour. I'm talking to Coach Matt Deggs. I'll be back in just a minute. Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour. I'm talking to Coach Matt Deggs, baseball coach at Sam Houston State. And I'm excited to talk to a college coach because when I played Little League, I received 28 letters from colleges asking me to stop playing baseball. So it was kind of disappointing, kind of sad, kind of tragic, Matt.
We've all been there.
Buddy. Okay, good. I feel better. Now, when I was watching the video, and I recommend all of our listeners to go watch it, it's on our Facebook page.
Yes, it is.
It is, and because it's so inspirational, and some of the players, the player to your left, almost full of tears, and you started talking about the ways in which players have acted outside of their own personal interest for the better of the team, and I have to say, that really struck a chord of, oh, you're doing something right there, Matt.
Oh, no doubt. These, like I said, these kids are selfless, and they have learned the ability to serve and to help and to build up, and that it's not about them. And we can do amazing, amazing things if we do not care who gets the credit. And so these boys are willing to lay it all down at a moment's notice, and they understand that results are very, very temporary. But their commitment to team and to each other, that stuff is eternal. And they live by that.
Mm-hmm. Matt, on this radio show, I don't care who gets the credit, as long as it's me. I'm curious about what you, how you've had a chance to model your faith and to share your love or the guys, because it really, I can tell from this video, you just love these guys, don't you?
No doubt. They're family.
And,
you know, I tell, I say it all the time, is I need those guys way more than they need me.
Mm-hmm.
And I live that attitude, and I'm grateful for them. And they are a part of my family, and so that is how we interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. So you've gone from a transactional coach to a transformational one because you want to look at the big picture. You want to speak truth. You want to make sure that these kids that are playing ball under your leadership can see the big picture in life. And I think that's fantastic. Which raises the question about the obsession we have today with sports in our culture, especially when it comes to kids. When I watch the way kids, younger kids, are so programmed by their parents for athletic activities. Have we lost perspective on this? I remember, really, when I was a kid, I got on my bike and I went to my baseball game and I played and I came home. And I remember at dinner, my dad would always say, did you have fun today? And I always loved the fact that was his leading question. And then I'd say, yeah, we had a great
100%.
Time. And then I was just dying for him to ask me if we won or lost.
No doubt. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're called to win. And, you know, the Bible's chock full of winners. And although they may come from broken past, we're called to win. And that's, you know, I'm probably the most competitive person you're ever going to meet. but I will tell you this. That's not our mission. Our mission is to develop men, mind, body, and spirit, and then to develop players, make sure they graduate, and to win championship rings together. And that's the one promise that we make every family when they sit in my office, is that's our mission. It's not about you. I'm not going to promise you your number. I'm not going to promise you that you're going to play. It's about the team, and it's about playing for the team. And those are the values that these players learn as soon as they step foot on campus here.
And, Matt, I'm just so fascinated by really how God has gotten a hold of you, because you're the one that's that has been so instrumental in helping these kids and showing them the big picture in life. But I'm fascinated and excited about what God has done in your life.
Well, it's... you know, it's been a long journey, and you know, it's something that I don't take lightly. This whole video is nothing that I ever imagined, and obviously it's not about me. It's about God's love and redemption and His message to reach those that are broken or hurt or you know, maybe going down a path that God does not have for them.
Right.
So. I'm only here for God to use me through this platform, and I'm only here because I promise you, Bill, His grace is greater than my sin.
Yeah.
Do I deserve to be here? No way. No way. But His grace is greater than any of my guilt or shame or regret. I promise you that. And so my mission is to live for Him, through Him, by Him, to glorify Him through the blessings that He has given me, and it's the ability to coach and build up men and lead men and take them from boys to men, and that's my job.
This is why.
You know what?
Yeah.
You get to play baseball along the way.
Yeah, this is why I'm making up more. We need more Matt T-shirts. We're just with a minute left, Matt. I'm curious about getting your perspective on the importance of community when it comes to transformation. We need to be together, don't we, to be transformed?
100%.
Okay,
we need
good.
To understand that it's not about us, and that's what our society has made it. And that's, you know, just watch TV. You know, look at where we're at right now. It's about me, 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 and what can I get, and how fast can I get it? And you know, it's not about us. It's about team. It's about family. It's about something way bigger than you. The most gratifying joy you will ever have in your life is to 100% commit yourself to something that is bigger than you. Lay it all down and commit yourself to something that is bigger than you, and watch the fruit that you will bear in your life.
That is, you are preaching, my friend. It's awesome. I just love it. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You bet.
God bless you guys.
God bless you. Yep. It's
bye-bye.
26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. And when we come back after news, we're going to hear all about the importance of listening. Be back in a minute. It is half past. So glad you're with us today. We're going to take a little news break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Mike Nichols, professor at William & Mary, and he wrote a book called The Lost Art of Listening. We don't know how to listen. We don't do it very well. We oftentimes just Exchange parallel monologues. I just wait for you to stop talking so I can start. Here we go. We'll be back in just a minute. Good morning, 25 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here with you. When our friends are struggling with big issues, can it be hard to know how to love them well? Well, Peter Greer has got some advice, and here it is.
Just love them. Follow the example of Jesus. Just love them. And that becomes something that is independent of circumstances. It's something that allows you, when life doesn't turn out or when people hurt you so deeply, how do we respond? And it's not looking back. It's not looking to our side. It's not looking inward at our own hurt. It is looking up, looking to the example of our Lord who showed us what love looks like, and then doing our best for however many days we have left to follow in that example, love one another as I have loved you. And again, maybe that sounds trite, but it is powerful if we would really be able to live that out. Love one another as I have loved you. That is a powerful mission for our second half.
That was Peter Greer, author and CEO of Hope International, talking about ministering to our friends, especially ones struggling with big issues. If you want to hear more of that interview, go to myfaithradio.com and type in Keeping Friendships in Midlife. All right, we're going to take a short break, and I'm very excited about our next guest, Mike Nichols. He's written a book called The Lost Art of Listening, which I read 20 years ago, and it's come out with the second edition, and I hunted Mike down, and he said, yeah, I'll come on your show. How exciting is that? Be back in a minute.
Every teen faces identity issues at one point or the other, but sometimes for adopted teens, the struggle escalates even higher. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I've seen kids pull all kinds of stunts to get questions answered about their past. Some have even tracked down their birth parents online, contacted them unexpectedly, and secretly set up a time to meet. So if you're an adoptive parent, don't lose heart when your teen goes through a time of crisis. Their natural curiosity doesn't mean that they've stopped loving you or no longer appreciate everything you've done. They're just a little confused about who they are. So on the good days and the bad, continue to parent your child with the same kind of love you've always had. And keep following God's example of patience, goodness, understanding, forgiveness, and grace.
Find more parenting help from Mark Gregston when you go online to parentingtodaysteens.org.
Welcome back to the Early Morning Late Show. Bill Arnold here. About 20 years ago, I came across a book called The Lost Art of Listening. And I was absolutely fascinated by the title, and because so often we think we're good listeners, and it turns out we're really not. And it's not anything you just sort of pick up on your own. You have to figure out how to be a good listener. And so I actually have the author of that book on the studio line with me, Dr. Mike Nichols. And I'm almost having one of those Chris Farley, Paul McCartney moments, like, because I've had this book on my shelf for 20 years. I've referred back to it many, many times. I've studied it. I've applied many of the principles. And I have to say, it is one of my favorite books of all time. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, the art of listening is critical to successful relationships. And I wonder how many people think of themselves as good listeners.
Most people do, as a matter of fact. But truth is, most people listen on automatic pilot. In other words, we do what we do what comes naturally. And you can't really be a good listener unless you make a little bit of an extra effort to do so.
Okay, one of the points you make in your book is that we don't listen as much as we carry on parallel monologues with each other. It's not that I'm really listening to you, I'm just waiting for you to stop talking so I can start talking.
Sure. Everybody wants to be heard. We have a lot to say. We have things on our mind. And in conversation, when the other person says something, it usually triggers some response in us, some feelings, some memories. If you tell me an unhappy story, I'll probably remember something unhappy in my life. I'll be eager to talk about that. But if I do so and cut you off, then you don't get heard, and I don't get heard, and it's kind of a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. So Do we call that autobiographical listening when if I say, yeah, I cut my hand and got two stitches, and instead of saying to the person, oh, that's too bad, you say, well, when I had stitches on my hand, it's like, how did we all of a sudden make it about you?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, in everyday casual conversation, that's fine, that back and forth like that. But if you're in a conversation and someone's talking about something that's important to them, it's better to give them your ear and hear them out rather than to swap stories back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And, Mike, you talk about being able to suspend your history with somebody, being able to be present with them in the moment and hear them and understand what they're saying. Give them the gift of understanding. That's quite an expression.
Well, yeah, and it takes, you know, it takes a conscientious effort to listen well. You have to suspend your own agenda, be there for the other person, hear them out, try to understand what they're getting at, not just react to their words, and then give them some kind of response. Let them know that you hear what they're saying or you think you hear what they're saying, and invite them to say more. It's an effortful process. But let me also say that it's worth doing in important conversations, but you don't have to go around making a huge effort to listen to every single person you run across every day. Otherwise, you'll wear yourself out. Mm-hmm. Good listening requires a lot of effort, and you don't need to do it all the time.
You know, when I first got your book, Mike, I remember taking many, many of the principles and starting to say, I'm going to intentionally apply these in my conversations. And I remember after 2 days, I was exhausted. I can't do this anymore. But I remember
You don't have to do it all the time. You know, if you're talking to the gas station attendant or the waiter in the restaurant, those are just casual exchanges. You know, just do what comes naturally.
Yeah.
If you're talking to a friend who's unburdening himself, or you're talking to your partner about something, that's when it's worth making the effort.
Okay. Now, you make a point in the book that if we sometimes feel cut off from sympathy and understanding in our private sphere, we've grown not even to expect courtesy and attention in public settings. So,
yeah,
talk about that a little bit, because there's, you know, if we're not feeling heard and understood in our private world, we're going to go out into the public world and feel probably the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, the effort that it takes to be a good listener is something we do at some cost. We all need to find relationships where we ourselves get heard. And it doesn't necessarily automatically happen in any particular relationship, but we need to cultivate relationships where we have a chance to talk and be heard and understood. Because if we ourselves don't get that listening and sense of being understood, then we don't have the energy and the generosity to give that gift to others.
Mike, you say that a good listener is a witness, not a judge of the experience, and that reassuring someone isn't the same as listening. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, the essence of good listening is appreciating what the other person has to say. And appreciating is a tricky word because people sometimes reduce it to praising people and lauding them. But appreciating what the other person has to say means getting what they're saying, tuning into their intentions and their motives and their feelings. If someone feels lousy and thinks they stink, telling them that they don't stink, it's well-intentioned, but it's not good listening. Hear them out. Listen to what they're saying. Don't offer, you know, bland reassurance.
Mm-hmm. You also talk
about... Of course, the famous phrase that you hear a lot of times is you'll tell someone something and they'll say, well, I know exactly how you feel. No, you don't know exactly how I feel. Listen to me and don't tell me you know exactly how I feel.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are talking to Mike Nichols and his book, The Lost Art of Listening. And I hope you're listening.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? We could float among the stars together, you and I. For we can.
Okay, we are back, and I hope you had an opportunity to get out Q-tips and clean out the earwax, because we are talking to Mike Nichols about The Lost Art of Listening. and how important it is to listen. All right. Now, you mentioned in the book about unshared thoughts can diminish us, not only by making us less authentic and less whole, but also by eating away at us. And you're talking about repression is not like putting something on the closet shelf and forgetting about it, but repression takes a constant expenditure of energy that wears us down. So if we're not sharing what's on our heart, or if we're not being understood, we're wasting a lot of energy, aren't we?
Absolutely. You know, there's a notion that some people can be mature, healthy, and self-sufficient. And in fact, there's no such thing. You can be mature and healthy, but we all need ongoing nourishment of being able to talk about what's on our mind and being listened to and understood. And if we don't get that in our lives, then that saps our, you know, our emotional energy, and we become less than whole people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also said when people don't say much, or if they stay quiet a little bit, it's not that they have nothing on their minds, but maybe they don't trust the other person to be willing to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you hear all the time from various parents that their kids won't talk to them. Well, there's a reason for that. The parents may not be, you know, evil people, but they probably aren't very good listeners. If someone's not talking to you, it's probably a good sign that they don't think that you are going to listen to them and hear them out.
So we're going to be in pretty tortured relationships if that's the state we're at, aren't we?
Sure. There's a lot of silence and, you know, unwillingness to share and be open.
So, Mike, you also talked about, you know, having an understanding attitude doesn't mean you're presuming to know a person's thoughts and feelings. It means you're going to be open to listening and discovering how a person is feeling.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a popular phrase called active listening, in which you say something and I say, I understand you're saying this, that, and the other thing. And that's fine. People need that acknowledgement, but often the acknowledgement comes with a sense, yeah, I know exactly what you mean, I heard you, that's the end of it. A good listener listens and invites the other person to say more, doesn't rush to assume that he or she knows what's going on, but keeps the focus on the other person and invites that person to say more and express themselves more fully.
Mm-hmm. And you also talk about that genuine listening means you're able to suspend some memory and for a few minutes exist for the other person. I thought that was really a lovely expression.
Yeah, and as you said, and as I agreed with you, it takes an effort, it's hard work, and you need to reserve that effort for times when it means something.
You made a great illustration in your book about a friend of yours that called you to get together and you sort of ignored them. And then you talked about the impact it has when people reach out to us expecting a response and then they feel ignored. And they don't feel like they've been heard or they're being listened to. And that's a very difficult thing in today's day and age when we're going to get 25 text messages and 60 emails all in one day. And how do I respond to people and make it feel like they're hearing from me and I'm caring about them?
Well, you know, give people at least a quick acknowledgement. And if somebody opens themselves up to you, give them more of an acknowledgement. I got several emails yesterday and I said, you know, yes, no, good luck.
Yeah.
And I got an email from someone who shared a personal problem with me, and I thought, well, this person wants to hear something more than that's too bad. So I chose that one to make more of an effort. I wrote her a letter and tried to, you know, offer some suggestions to her.
Mm-hmm. So
I guess what I'm saying is, if you're bombarded, learn to give quick acknowledgments. People at least feel that you heard them.
Okay, so really, Mike, as we're kind of wrapping up here, what makes a person a good listener?
What makes a good listener is deciding to make the effort to try to listen to people. A lot of times people, like magazines always looking for the tips, how to be a good listener. Anybody who's looking for tips for how to be a good listener is looking for tips for how to appear to be a good listener, how to make other people like you.
How to fake it.
The person's listening. Go ahead.
Basically how to fake it, right?
Yeah, well, maybe fake it, but to appear to be a good listener, to say, oh, look at me, I'm a good listener. That's what I did as a young therapist. You know, I made calf eyes at people and nodded feelingfully. But the essence of listening is just making the effort to hear the other person.
Mm-hmm. You really had an interesting point in your book when you said, remember the last time something really wonderful happened to you? And the question then you ask is, do you remember waiting to tell someone? Whom did you choose, and how did it work out? Because we sometimes show up with a big chunk of good news we can't wait to tell someone, and then we tell it to that person, and then we walk away feeling kind of deflated.
Yeah, and, you know, that's sad. The thing is, you need to have people in life that you can count on to hear you when you need to be heard.
And if we're not being heard, we're going to be less inclined to share with people that we care about the most, because we don't want to feel that rejection, do we?
That's right. And, you know, unexpressed thoughts and feelings back up and burden us. It's not good.
Mike, I so appreciate you taking the time to talk about your book. It's now out in its second edition. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I have a hard copy of it, and I also just downloaded the Kindle version last night because I wanted the second edition. I find your work so fascinating, and I find the whole art of listening something that we all need to improve upon. I know I need to personally work on it. And the techniques and the things you talk about in your book are really interesting, and I recommend it to people. So thanks for being a guest on the show, and have a great day.
Thanks. Thanks for your very good questions, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. All right. That was Dr. Mike Nichols and his book, The Lost Art of Listening. We'll take a short break and be right back. Good morning. It's 4 minutes until the top of the hour. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that last segment with Dr. Mike Nichols about listening. You know, it says in James chapter 1, verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That is not what we're experiencing in today's world, is it, Miss Rebecca?
No, indeed. Sorry, what was that? I wasn't listening.
Oh, yeah. We are not experiencing civil discourse. We're not listening to each other. We're not being polite. For the most part, we're not taking the time to hear each other out.
I find that's altogether too true. And then as soon as I point my finger at one person or one target, I have three pointing back at me. I could do so much better at listening, and I really enjoyed a lot of the tips that Mike Nichols brought forward, and there's certainly some that I can start implementing as soon as today.
Well, if you wait for a person to completely finish their thought before you start talking, just try doing that, and you'll just be exhausted, because a lot of the things pop into my head of what I want to say, so I kind of want to race to what I want to say next and not even finish hearing what the other person is saying. So I'm not really listening as much as I want to have conversation and keep things going, and it's a mess.
But I think we're all in this mess together. That's the important thing, is that if we all give each other a little grace. I know sometimes it can be frustrating when I'm interrupted, when somebody interrupts in the middle of my thought. Mm-hmm. But then I do that to other people all the time. So I need to work on myself first.
So let's take the time to listen to each other. And again, as it says in James, let's be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And that will make your day even better. Thanks for listening today. We just love you. So I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.